Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Up Tempo Talks. I'm Coach Rory Moynihan.
And I'm Coach Dylan Bellis.
And today we're going to talk about books. In fact, we have some book recommendations for our listeners, our viewers, whichever one you may be. But anyway, as a former English teacher, I always enjoyed reading novels with my students. And today we're going to go through three books each. We have picked a couple running related books that we really enjoy, of course. And then the last book that we selected is not necessarily related to running, but there may be some principles from that book that we can apply to our training and just running lives. So we hope this is something you enjoy, especially with potentially extra time at home. You know, it's a good thing to get off the screens and do some good reading.
Absolutely. So I think that, I mean, I know we both have done quite a bit of reading. I listen to a ton of audiobooks. I think some of my favorite books are actually on in audio form. So if you're not like a really big book reader, it's really nice to kind of have something in your ears if you're heading to work or going out for a run. And I think a lot of our listeners do something very similar when they're running. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there that these aren't necessarily going to be our favorite books, but maybe more relevant books for the time that we're in, or things that we think that the readers will best or the listeners will best enjoy and be able to take to apply to their training.
Yeah, no, I agree. One of these, in fact, I'm still currently reading.
Yep.
I'm just enjoying it right now. It might not be my all-time favorite, but mm-hmm. it might be a good one to pick up. Now, I'm actually kind of in the vein that I prefer having a physical book.
Yes.
When it comes to audio, I prefer a podcast, mm-hmm. but maybe I just haven't given myself a chance, but I'm not as much into audiobooks. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's a matter of we're going to be talking about two running books and mm-hmm. one book that's non-related to running, but maybe we can apply it to running. What do you typically read on your day-to-day basis? Like what is, you know, what's the style of book that you would mm-hmm. prefer to read, you know, because personally for myself, I read a ton of business books. I really enjoy marketing books. At the moment, I'm actually reading a book about, you know, financial health.
Okay.
So, I mean, again, I'm really into the self-development mm-hmm. field of books. And, you know, do you find that you seek out running books or, you know, where do you find yourself in this area of things?
Well, of course, I referenced my teaching career. So when I was a teacher, I'd read more novels like fiction, mm-hmm. a lot of fiction and some of the classics. And that still shows up in my reading style. Like I usually have one nonfiction book. I have a collection of short stories that I just finished reading by this newer author. But yeah, typically, since I'm coaching now, especially that's my main profession, I'll have one running book on deck.
Yeah.
And then a category I like is like self-help and motivation.
Sure thing. As we've talked about on previous podcasts, I have a ton of just running related, mm-hmm. just training specific related books that I refer to all the time. If you see them, they're all bent up and used. I've actually talked about it on a previous podcast. And I, of course, I'm not mm-hmm. going to, those are the ones that I read most, but I'm not going to keep revisiting that with everybody who's been watching and listening. But, you know, I just wanted to say that, yeah, I mean, when it comes to books, you know, those are the ones that I leaf through all the time. I've just got them all marked up and stuff that I refer to every day just to help athletes or reaffirm some thoughts that I may have.
Yeah, no, I know personally just from living with you, I see some really interesting titles. So again, I think we both had a hard time narrowing it down.
Yes.
So if you ever want to reach out and message us, we have many other books that would be on our list that we didn't even cover today.
For sure. This is going to be a big, big topic for a lot of our listeners, readers, because this is something that a lot of people do. A lot of people have time for this. A lot of people really, you know, invest their time into reading or listening to books or podcasts and whatnot. So, you know, at the end of this, you know, we do recommend that you leave us a comment and let us know what you're reading. But before we get to that point, let's talk about what we're reading.
Might as well. Let's see. I'll pick one for my stack. I think I'm going to go with the one that I'm currently reading. I just picked this up. I did order this particular book. Usually if there's a book I like, I prefer to own it. Although a lot of my books I get from the library. Mm-hmm. This is called Spirit Run. This is a new book. It came out just this year. It is written by a Latino runner and author based in Washington State. And he's about my age, maybe like 30, early 30s. And this is just an incredible book. It says in the subtitle here, it says, a 6,000-mile marathon through North America's stolen land. So he's obviously taking his Latino perspective here, and just being a member of like an indigenous tribe, mm-hmm. It just influences, you know, his life growing up. And basically, long story short, when he was in college, he was kind of directionless. He was the first member of his family to attend college. And there's a speaker who came to his school, and they told him about this thing called Peace and Dignity Journeys. So basically, it's this annual like run. It's non-competitive, mm-hmm. but indigenous tribes from around the world, from Canada all the way down to Central and South America, they'll actually meet up in Canada. I'm forgetting the territory that they start in, but basically they congregate in Canada. They have a bunch of vans, and they take turns running kind of relay style.
Yep.
From Canada, and they end up in Guatemala. The idea is just to have these indigenous groups come together, share their experiences. Sometimes they're kind of sad and they've been underprivileged, but basically they get really unique insight, and they stay with friends and people they meet along the way, and just have an incredible journey, and just really powerful book so far.
Now, was that the one that you said you're currently reading?
This is currently reading.
Got it.
And I'll plug the author, Noe Alvarez.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
And I'll have a lot more to say about it when I finish it, but
yeah.
I thought it was worthy to mention right now. So, your turn.
My first book is, it's going to be more principle-based than anything. Mm-hmm. So, with all the athletes that I've ever worked with Runners Connect, high school athletes, my college teammates, anybody that's ever worked with me post-college, even people I surround myself with today, one of the biggest things that we take issue with as coaches, as athletes, with other, you know, something that I personally had when I first started running, is that we run too fast all the time. And for a lot of us, when we first get into running, we think, hey, if I just run fast every day, that's how I get faster, right? Like that's just a natural, you know, thought. And so a lot of people end up running way too quickly for their easy runs, not allowing, you know, working kind of more in that moderate range versus the easy range. Whereas, you know, within that easy range, that's where we're really going to be helping boost our aerobic capacity. We're able to do more training with less stress on the body, run more volume, and that in turn can translate into better endurance, faster speeds as that goes up in distance, or whatever it is that we're training for. I think, you know, one of the biggest like influencers in a lot of coaches' lives is a guy named Arthur Lydiard, and really just trying to influence that, hey, volume is a big factor to speed from the 800 or the mile all the way up to the marathon.
For sure.
So, you know, he had guys running 20 miles, running, racing a 1 mile race, you know? So not
yeah, no, my college coach's training principles were based on
yeah.
what Lydiard thought.
Yeah. So. And it's not a bad way to go. It's mm-hmm. not a bad way to go. But anyways, to get back to what I was saying. So a lot of athletes are running too fast for the easy days, taking away from the hard days, increasing risk of injury, and just limiting their aerobic benefits that they're going getting from that easy pace. So my first book, with this being said, is called 80-20. So, and this is from Matt Fitzgerald. He actually came to Flagstaff and he wrote a book with the Hoka team that is here, the NAZ Elite.
NAZ Elite.
Okay. NAZ Elite. And so what he did was he basically just decided, hey, I'm going to do all my training with this team and let's see if I get better. Hmm. And he did. He ran, I think, a sub 240 marathon.
Okay.
It was impressive.
Solid.
Yeah. So it was a PR for him at the time. So 80-20 running. This is a principle that 80% of your running should be pretty easy. Easy, relaxed, conversational pace underneath what he calls the ventilatory threshold. So again, nice comfort, relaxed pace. 20% of that is the workouts that you do, whether that's intervals, threshold, marathon, whatever it is, you know, you're doing. So, you know, the 80-20 principle is something that I like to talk with other athletes about that I'm working with, because, you know, I think that it's something that can be easily improved by taking it easier on yourself. You know, by running slower, you can allow yourself to get faster, to be able to expand your aerobic capacity, to be able to run more volume, feel, you know, makes everything else feel much easier. And I think you would agree with this. You know, I think there are, I actually talked with somebody today. I was like, hey man, like your easy days are faster than what I run my easy days. And I've run 90 minutes faster in a marathon. Wow. And, you know, and like,
it's true,
but you know, it's true. I mean, again, I bet you knew people or still know people who run about the same time as you, but their easy days are just so hard. And you just wonder, you know, what would happen if you allowed yourself, you know, to really relax a little bit and expand on those workouts and then run more mileage in its place. So again, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but yeah, my book 80-20 Running is something that I think that all athletes could benefit from, and just getting a better understanding of what's going on and why we run easy and why we run more volume when we race a 5K or a marathon or whatever distance it is.
I think that was a good choice because that concept seems kind of counterproductive. Mm-hmm. And some of our athletes and many people hear the rule. They may not know about it. So this book sounds like a good resource. Got to plug Runners Connect. We also have a couple articles that we've written on the topic. So if you search that on Google,
and that fits
and there's
show.
A, oh, we had them on.
I believe so.
Perfect. All right. I guess it would be my turn now. I'm going to do kind of a 2-for-1 deal here.
Okay.
If you can't tell by my first pick and then these picks, I also enjoy biographies or autobiographies and human interest stories because I think we can learn so much from other runners, you know, learn from each other's mistakes and experiences and just be inspired and motivated. So I have two that go hand in hand. Before I show the book, I guess it's a male and female runner that I think have parallel stories. I need to mention the one. I don't have the copy currently, but this book is called Stay the Course by Dick Beardsley.
Okay.
And this book has a lot of personal significance to me. Because, first of all, I grew up in the Midwest, as I've mentioned many times. I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, mm-hmm. and there was a race director in my community. Shout out Mark Knutson. He actually is a race director for the Fargo Marathon, which is looking like it's going to be one of the few marathons happening this year.
So far.
And when I first got it started running at probably age 10, I was kind of doing these local road races in Fargo mm-hmm. that he put on. And I remember he had Dick Beardsley speaking as a motivational speaker prior to a race. And if you don't know him, he's a big name runner.
Yep.
All right. He's run a 208 in the marathon. He's most famous for the Duel in the Sun with Alberto Salazar.
That's right. That's right.
Coming down to the wire. So Duel in the Sun is a great book
as well.
But anyway, his book is called Stay the Course, and it talks about his experiences after his running career. So long story short, I was at this race. He had just given a speech and he had copies of his book there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my friend Mark Knutson, the race director, he purchased the book for me on the spot. He already knew Dick, of course, because he invited him, and he introduced me to him. And Dick Beardsley signed this copy and wrote a really nice note. And it's just such a powerful book because it talks about, first of all, he starts off as a newbie runner in Duluth, Minnesota. He didn't really know anything about the sport. And it just, he transforms himself from this nerdy, scrawny runner into one of the best distance runners in the world at the time in the 80s. And then after that, it kind of tracks his life when he is actually involved in a farming accident. He almost dies, becomes addicted to prescription drugs, painkillers, you know, attempts suicide, and just has to kind of crawl himself out of this metaphorical hole. Somehow he also incorporates humor into these dark times. So if you've ever heard him speak, he's phenomenal. The book's great. And he's a really transformational book for me because it was so early on in my running career. The reason I said I had a parallel, I wanted to make sure I had a physical book here. So another runner that I've personally met, and she's kind of has a similar experience. She does motivational speeches now and kind of travels the country. She just finished up a book tour last year. Her name is Katra Corbett. She is an incredible trail runner. So for any folks out there who enjoy trail running, mm-hmm. you're going to love her story. She also has similar struggles with addiction. She was actually a meth addict, overcame addiction to other substances, alcohol and such. But she became a runner much later in life. She's currently in her mid-50s, yet she's probably one of the most accomplished female ultra runners in recent years. She was the first American woman to complete 100 mile races. Anyway, the title, which I haven't even mentioned yet, is Reborn on the Run, My Journey from Addiction to Ultra Marathons. She's pictured with her dachshund, her little wiener dog. She actually has two now, and they actually have ultra sign up profiles. So her wiener dogs run ultra marathons with her. I kid you not. They do like 50K and I think even 50 milers. So also a great inspirational story. And I think she's kind of the female parallel to Dick Beardsley. So that's why I'm going to recommend both those books.
So I know The Duel in the Sun, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously The Race. I've not read the book, but I mean, incredible story, obviously. Dick Beardsley's story is just incredible. And I haven't heard of this book, but obviously I've heard of Catcher. So very cool.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll move on. So with my second book here, running related, is going to be Running with the Buffaloes. And this is by Chris Lear, I believe. Yes, Chris Lear. And so this book, basically, it encapsulates the 1998 cross-country season with University of Colorado Buffaloes. And that's when Adam Goucher, multiple-time U.S. champion, you know, Olympian, that whole thing.
I think I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. Great runner in his own right. But he was he won cross-country nationals that year. And so this book basically just takes that entire season, and they had someone following them, and just everything that went on, the camaraderie, the ups, the downs, the injuries, what the training was like. So it's really interesting if you care a lot about culture, like team culture, and you like to hear about training, and you like to hear it at like one of the most like visceral levels in collegiate sports, you know, I think all of us can relate, or, you know, in a way empathize or sympathize with, you know, the big football teams or basketball teams, and how, you know, big fans get on with their team, and how it's such raw emotion. And this book really shows the day to day of those athletes and how much they put into it, how hard they work to achieve what they did. And I think it's something that we can all relate, even if we can't put ourselves in their shoes as athletes at that university. At least we have something in our life that we can say, gosh, I've never cared about something so much. And like, you know, like this is what drives me every single day. And as a group or as a person, achieve something that's really much bigger than yourself. And I think this book does a really good job at that and breaks things down in a really wonderful way. And so I think anybody, doesn't matter if, you know, you are a collegiate athlete or, you know, you just started running, I think like this is incredibly inspirational. And, you know, with running, there's a ton of books like that, of course, but I think this is one of the ones for me that has meant the most.
Agreed. I've definitely read this book. I love it. I believe I read it in high school. It's been out for a little while, but I remember it being really powerful. And it's not really a spoiler alert to give it away, but there is a teammate on the team who dies during that season.
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of chronicle. You mentioned the ups and downs.
Gosh, yeah. It makes it even more special. Yeah. And actually, so Jay Johnson was on this team. Mm-hmm. Jay Johnson has contributed a lot of workout routines. He's a coach as well. He used to be a coach with Runners Connect. You know, he does coaching in his own right. And so he was actually on that team, you know, when they won too. So, I mean, he's a Runners Connect figure himself and someone we refer to all the time. So a lot of really prevalent people during this time that we can all, that are still active and doing stuff today.
Yeah. Such a powerful book. I remember getting emotional reading it, back in the day. I think I may have come back to it a second time, but it's so cool too, because people don't realize how much of a team sport cross country is. And it just shows you behind the scenes, the inner workings, and how close you become with your teammates. Yeah. Like they're bonded for life, especially this team.
Yeah. I mean, and as, you know, post-collegiate athletes, you know, you go back and read something like this and you just kind of forget like what it was like to have a team and how cool it was to just run with those people you spent so much time with. So yeah, it's a great book and I'd highly recommend it.
Good pick. So I think that brings us to our books that are not necessarily running related, but maybe there's some link that we've made between them. I have selected Thanks 1000 by AJ Jacobs. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's done many TED Talks.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's where I heard the name.
He writes really interesting books. His concepts are always so unique. I think there's one where, like, there's one year where he lived out the Bible literally for a year. Everything that's written in the Bible, basically he did. whether it was like treating people unfairly or like stoning people. He wouldn't actually stone them, of course. He'd like throw a rock at someone who did something bad that he thought was immoral. So he did that. There's another time where he's married and has a family, but he basically locked himself in his library for a year and tried to read as many books as he possibly could. Mm-hmm. His goal is to like try to learn everything or as much as he could and just to see how much knowledge he could retain. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of at it again. This book came out, I think, in 2019. And this is great. It's called Thanks a Thousand because I think he had ordered coffee at a local coffee shop, you know, when he used to go out in public. And he thanked the barista for the coffee. And I believe there's some conversation he had with his child at the dinner table. And they're kind of like wondering, you know, what did it take to get that cup of coffee into your hands? It just kind of sparked this thing where he not only thanked the barista for making the coffee, he decided to track down every single person who was responsible for bringing that cup of coffee to him.
Wow.
Whether it was getting on a plane, flying to Central America, meeting the people who harvested the coffee beans. He met with the factory workers who make the cups and even like the cup holders so you don't burn your hands.
Yeah.
He met with the truck drivers who ship the beans across country. He even met with the people who paint the lines on the roads.
Yeah.
So he made that link. Okay, they're helping that truck driver get there safely. So he ends up thanking thousands of people for this one cup of coffee. And the whole idea, of course, is just to be grateful for the little things and just understand how even something simple you're enjoying, it took so much for that to occur. And I especially think during these dark times and everything that's happening, you kind of have to focus on the positive. Otherwise, you're not going to get through this. And it definitely applies to running. When I'm sure you can relate, when training isn't going your way, if you're in it for the long run, you got to focus on why you enjoy running and why you're grateful.
So is that, so that book basically chronicles that entire process, or is this a gratitude? That's not a gratitude journal. It's the journey.
Right. It says a gratitude journey.
Got it. Got it.
So it's hyper focused on just a single cup of coffee.
Cool.
I will say it almost gets repetitive towards the end, but it has a point. I think in the back section, he tracks down how many people were involved with that. Yeah.
And that's just something so simple as getting a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And then you can apply that to our healthcare workers and just what they're doing for us right now. They're on the front lines. And
we always, it's like we forget how complicated or, you know, how ungrateful we are for some certain things. Mm-hmm. I think I was reading something about, you know, things that we take for granted. You know, there's a lot of those things, right? Like obviously the coffee cup is something that, you know, many of us drink coffee every day and you can just, it takes so much just to make that one thing. I actually had that thought when I was in Germany last year and I saw one of the cathedrals I was at in Cologne.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this huge cathedral, so much delicate architecture. And like, I had never really like taken the time to like, when you walk in somewhere to really just appreciate, like even your house, like, I could not imagine myself. I could never make something like this. No. You know what I mean? Like I could never make this house. And so it's just like little things like that, little things of appreciation, you know, like a cup of coffee in that book that really, you know, if you sit back and think about it, it's really outstanding.
Exactly. It's a great reminder. So what do you got for us? Let's bring it home.
All right. Last one. So mine is a bit of a brick of a book. So this is Tools of Titans. It's by Tim Ferriss. He is an entrepreneur, podcaster. He's got a blog, kind of done a little bit of everything. He's a world champion in a couple weird things. So a really interesting guy, great podcast. So this book is all his podcasts put into a readable form. So he takes all the important information from all the questions that he asks his interviewees and puts it in this book. And so there's a lot of really great quotes. There's a lot of really great, interesting products and stuff that you can find. People from all sorts of realms of, you know, of life. So it's broken into, let me tell you what it's about first. So
sounds like there's just so much in there. It's hard.
Okay.
To
so it's
down.
Called The Tactics, Routines, and Habits of Billionaires, Icons, and World-Class Performers. So Tim is someone who he interviews the best of the best, right? He gets, so this book is broken into three sections: healthy, wealthy, and wise. So he gets, you know, what would seem to be the best people in the health field who, sure, you know, can share their wisdom, like guru type of people. And then the wealthy, so billionaires, people, okay, who made a lot of money in different markets and whatnot. And I just think it's a really interesting book that you can go through each chapter. Each chapter is an individual, and you can kind of just see what they say and what they recommend, or maybe a good quote from them. So it's really a nice book to kind of flip through, and you can take bits and pieces from what some of the most successful people have done to be successful, which I think is a really interesting thing, because when you're really breaking down what creates success, it's nice to be able to go and see the people who have already done that and then maybe try to apply some of those strategies to your own life. So,
it's great. Almost like a reference book. You're not going to sit down and obviously read this one sitting. You're going to reference different parts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Different and things. You're doing.
There are so many interesting people in this book. You can just go, you know, right here in the index and just see, you know, hey, I really want to know what Mark Cuban said, and you flip to Mark Cuban,
okay,
or Jamie Foxx or whoever it is that you're really interested in, and kind of get an idea of what they say. And it's broken down and condensed and made in really readable format. So yeah, I mean, Tim has a lot of great books. He started out with a 4-Hour Work Week. He's got, okay, the Tools of Titans.
I think, yeah, I've definitely heard of him.
There's the 4-Hour Chef book. He's got another book that's just like Tools of Titans, and I'm blanking on the name of it right now. But anyways, great, great resource just for, again, decoding some of the most successful people that we know.
Yeah, so I got to ask, you mentioned there's a healthy section. First, does he interview runners? And second, is there a specific section that you've applied to your training from reading this?
Yeah, so there are a few runners. I know for one, there was Amelia Boone. So she kind of crosses over. She does some ultra races. I think she really made herself popular through the like Spartan events. Mm-hmm. So I think she might be the first chapter in here, actually.
Okay. I figured, yeah.
But yes, so in terms of applying it to my own running, a lot of times with the health side of things, I take a lot of, I've learned about a lot of like supplements,
sure,
that I've potentially taken, as well as some of, so they have, I'm blanking on her name right now. Oh, Dr. Rhonda Patrick. So she talks a lot about like sauna usage and how that can help with, yeah, cardio fitness. And so that's something that I've educated myself more about. It's more of an educational tool than anything. And I'm able to use some of those things and apply, whether that's, hey, maybe I need more iron through this source that I had no clue about, right? Or,
true,
you know, maybe I should include sauna to help boost my performance. Or, you know, how does beetroot juice help? You know, that's what something that Amelia Boone talks about. But personally, I really like looking through the other sections as well, because they might not apply necessarily to my running, but they'll help with whether it's like mental health or financial health or just understanding, mm-hmm, how to be better equipped to kind of function in, you know, this life as a career in a, you know, in a career sense, and just kind of progressing forward in your life. So a lot of really cool information from a lot of really interesting people.
Yeah. Sounds brilliant. I definitely got to check it out. Maybe we should even trade books sometime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good book talk. Is there anything else you want to touch on, or?
So I read a ton of books.
Yeah. Definitely can tell.
This is just a very small portion. Had to really kind of think about the ones I really wanted to talk about. And I thought that these three, at least I had, were ones that I think that a lot of our listeners would really enjoy. So.
Cool. Yeah, I hope that's the case with my selections as well.
Absolutely. Again, guys, thanks for everyone who tuned in today on YouTube, who are listening to us on the podcast today. Like Coach Roy has suggested, let us know about what you're reading or any recommendations you have. We're always open to taking advice or recommendations for what we should be looking into next. I actually just added, I was over at the chiropractor this afternoon, and I added a book to my list from the chiropractor today. So really interesting. But anyways, guys, drop those in the comments. Like us. If you haven't subscribed, please do already on our YouTube page. And thanks, guys, for tuning in today, and happy running.
Have a great run today, guys.